our special guest of the afternoon, Francis Benali, Southampton legend, former left back. Thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure, Andy. Nice to be here.
We'll talk Saints in a moment, but let's start by talking about the big bike ride up to Leicester you took part 2 weeks ago. I'd imagine for someone like you, with all the running you've done, it must have been a straightforward time.
I'm not sure about that. I think I said to a few of the guys, the last time I rode a bike on a regular basis was when I had a grifter many years ago. And a few listeners might sort of well know of a certain age what a grifter was. It was a bike that weighed a ton. It was, you know, you almost got a hernia trying to pull a wheelie on one of those things. So it was a bit of a new experience for me, sort of getting on a road bike. But brilliant, really enjoyed it. It was for the Saints Foundation. We were riding from St Mary's up to Leicester, the King Power Stadium, in time for when Saints played Leicester away from home. And it was a brilliant experience. Thoroughly enjoyed the travelling. It was there's a lot of sort of fun on the road and route with the other riders. There was about 40 of us in total. And, you know, apart from having an enjoyable experience and watching Saints at the end of it, an awful lot of funds have been raised to help the foundation.
It must take a real sort of community effort there. You must need to egg each other on to get to the finish in that kind of event.
Yeah, I think it had sort of, you know, pretty sort of expert riders and right down to real novices like me who haven't been on a bike for years. So yeah, there was small groups going off, albeit there was 40 odd riders. We were going off at certain time intervals and people were heading off at different paces. But it was great. You know, we had some little pit stops where we'd have a little break and a few refreshments, and some riders sort of got their head down and tried to crash out the miles pretty quick. And others, a little bit like myself and the team Garmin that I were with, were going a little bit steadier and pacing ourselves a little bit, because it was about 160 miles over the 2 days, so it was a fair few miles.
Now, I know Ralph Kruger took part in a similar event last year. I don't think, unfortunately, he was part of the group this time.
Not this year, unfortunately, no, but yeah, you rightly say he was part of the group that went up to Aston Villa last season. And you know, I'm sure this is a great event. Having experienced it myself now, I'd certainly be up for doing something again in the future if they were considering that, and I'm sure they will. So it'd be interesting to see what next season will bring.
And also this week you were involved in the play on the pitch game, where some people got to play at St Mary's again for the Saints Foundation. How was it turning out on the St Mary's pitch? Bring back some good memories, I'd imagine.
It was great, Andy. Yeah, you know, for sort of ex-players like myself that have been retired for some time to go back to the stadium and actually sort of have a run out on the pitch. You know, there was a huge amount of guys that had donated money towards the Saints Foundation to be part of that game, and you know, a huge amount of thanks goes to them. But yeah, they hopefully enjoyed the experience of sort of having a few ex-pros playing with them. There was myself, James Beattie, David Hughes, Gordon Watson, Nicky Banger, Ruben Agbula came down, and although he couldn't play, he sort of managed one of the sides. So yeah, it was, you know, there would have been a few faces for the guys to have recognised, hopefully, and hopefully they enjoyed the game as well.
You weren't afraid of a tackle in your playing career. You didn't put anyone over the advertising boards down a right winger coming forward, did you?
Well, you know, sometimes the eyes did glaze over in the past, as you know. But no, I was on my best behaviour, and everyone there was, you know, sort of a Saints supporter. So we had a great evening. It was a good game. I think there was plenty of goals for the family and supporters to sort of enjoy. And yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it. And, you know, fingers crossed, I'll be taking part in another game coming up soon.
It's easy for people to be negative about Premier League football and the money that, well, we know the huge amounts that's turning around, but perhaps we don't hear enough about the great work that something like the Southampton Foundation do, and I know our other clubs, Bournemouth and Portsmouth, have similar yeah. setups.
No, that's right. It's I mean, even going back to my day and even before us, you know, there's Laurie McMenemy would sort of, you know, it was always very much known as a family club, and our part within the community we saw as being very important, and as players at the time through my career, and as club captain, my role was to organise players and make sure we had a rota and everybody sort of did their bit appearance wise out in the community. And you know, that's continued and sort of developed into the Saints Foundation now, doing fantastic work for vulnerable youngsters and adults, you know, in the area, but also for great causes abroad in Africa.
When you look back on your big run, obviously you did for cancer research and raised some fantastic money, a fantastic event. Do you look back and almost wonder how you did it? Do you look back with fondness, or is it possible to look on something like that with fondness, given the sort of suffering there must have been while doing it?
You're right. There was quite a bit of suffering, Andy. But you know, sat here now looking back on it, yeah, there's very much a reflection. My wife and I, Karen, actually had a meeting with a couple of ladies that were very supportive from Cancer Research this week, and talking very much about the run and how it went and the experience and pleasure we all had sort of doing that, and looking ahead as well. So, you know, I've still very much got something inside me that wants to do another challenge. So what that's going to be, we'll wait to see. But the run was amazing. You know, the way people supported it financially, we've raised over £260,000, and you know, we'll be making an announcement fairly soon on the total figure that we've raised. But that's the ballpark figure at the moment. And you know, wanted to challenge myself to see if I still could put myself through what was obviously something that tested me extremely physically and mentally as well.
How did you get up every day knowing what was ahead, and how did you motivate yourself to keep going? Because it must have been really difficult at times.
It was, yeah, even right from day one, to be honest. And in some ways, looking back, I still question sort of how I did get up in the mornings. You know, I soon realised that I was physically running every day longer than I was sleeping at night. And you know, when you think of things like that, it seems crazy. I mean, I wasn't obviously running quick. My legs were fatigued, and there was a huge amount of not just the physical challenge, but there was the mental challenge, and those sort of dark moments and barriers to overcome when you're out on the road, when you could be in the middle of nowhere. You know, there was obviously a support team around me who were fantastic, but you know, I was the one person that had to complete every step and every mile, and there was no sort of backup plan. If I picked up an injury or we fell behind schedule, then you know, obviously it wouldn't have been a success, and the plan was to arrive back at St Mary's when they were playing Newcastle United at home that day. So,
and it was a decent game to pick to turn up for.
Yeah, you know, maybe apart from the last weekend's game against Villa, or maybe the 8-0 against Sunderland, then maybe the 4-0 victory against Newcastle that day was a good a game as any to pick.
Let's now turn our attention towards the Southampton season. Were you last summer someone who was a bit fearful given the sales, or were you always confident things were going to work out?
I think it was a bit of a shock. Not the some of the players that actually left, because I think there was always that concern with having a successful season, that, and there was a few rumours and a bit of talk about one or two of the players leaving. But to lose as many as we did at that time, and your manager as well, in such a short space of time, I think that was a big concern for an awful lot of people. I was trying to put a positive spin on it and an outlook, like anything I do really in life. But you know, certainly when it comes to the football as well, trying to remain positive and just wanting to give the club an opportunity to see what they did bring in the way of players to replace the guys that did go. And you know, I think I made a prediction on a television program at the beginning of the season that, you know, I thought Saints would finish eighth. So, you know, there's not too big a gap away from where I thought they would finish. But, you know, to have the season that they've had has been absolutely incredible.
Where does this team sit amongst the best ever Southampton teams that you've seen?
It's always a difficult one, because, I mean, there's always people that talk about players from previous generations and teams from the past and how they compare against maybe current sides, as you've just asked. And you know, there's so much that's changed about the game now. You know, there's almost like nothing left to chance nowadays. You look at the setup at Marchwood, and you know, everything is geared towards success. You know, there's a size of staff, there's experts almost in every field. You know, as a player, if you can't drive up to the gates at Marchwood now, or any other probably Premier League football training ground, then, and not be inspired to go out and be the best that you can be and be successful, then, you know, I think you probably have a little bit of a problem. But I don't know. I mean, they'd be a match for any team, I think. It would be interesting to sort of pitch up the current squad against some of the tides from the past. But, you know, as I say, you know, you can't question how good the season's been. And you know, still a lot to play for in tomorrow's game as well. So, you know, just to see where we do actually finish up.
If you've never been to the new training ground, it is absolutely staggering as you drive up. When you see such an analytical approach, do you almost wish your playing career had been slightly later, and you see the large amounts of money swirling around?
I think from a financial point of view, yeah, for sure, it would be nice to sort of reap some of those rewards. But, you know, that's, I mean, there's probably certain aspects of it you think I'd like to sort of, you know, would like the current approach to the modern game to sort of still retain and continue some of the aspects of the game was when it was I was playing, you know, and it has developed in every probably possible way, not just financially, on and off the pitch. And the players seem so much fitter now. You know, they are athletes, and you know, with things like social media and things like that, you know, and the coverage that the sport gets now as well, it just taken the sport onto another level. And with Saints punching their weight up and around the top end of the table this season, it's been great to sort of be watching that.
Let's talk about more about Saints, and what in particular has impressed you this season with the team?
I think it, you know, we've touched on already, Andy, that, you know, the players that left at the beginning of the season, there was an awful lot of the experts and pundits out there that were writing us off for relegation, not just to struggle this season with the players that left. So to turn that round and have the successful season competing at the top end of the table like they have done has been incredible. I think it's probably a number of factors, to be honest. There was a good core of players that were still at the club, even after the ones that had left had gone. Obviously Ronald Koeman coming in and adding his touch to the club.
He's been such a sort of impressive unifying figure, even right from the start.
Yeah, no, very much so. And you know, the players that have come in as well have more than filled the boots of the players that left. And I think there's been a, you know, it's not just the squad of players or Ronald Koeman. You know, there's lots of departments, lots of people that work extremely hard behind the scenes that don't necessarily get the daily recognition that maybe someone like Ronald and his staff or the players would get. And it quite literally is a team effort. Everybody's on the right page. Everybody's fighting hard for success. And there's that confidence and belief in the work that they're doing behind the scenes. And what we see, you know, during the 90 minutes plus of football at a weekend, that is aiming towards being a successful club and a successful side. And, you know, Ronald and his staff, the players, everybody behind the scenes, you know, from top to bottom throughout the club have played their part in what has been an amazing season. So I'd say it's probably a number of factors and reasons and people's involvement that has contributed towards the season we've had.
Because they were great to watch under Pochettino, but if anything, they've taken it on a touch this season with the football that's just so enjoyable to watch.
It has been, and you know, I think there's a belief as a player, you know, confidence can play a huge part, and you know, a run of form and run of results can be a great thing when you're doing well, and it can also have the same effect, but in a negative way, if you're struggling a little bit. You know, it's a much harder place to go out and play and perform to your full potential if you're lacking a bit of confidence and results aren't going your way. It can often be a lot harder then. But you know, they've certainly been on the crest of a wave for most of the season. There's probably been a couple of dips through the season where we've just dropped out of that top four, top five sort of place within the league, which is you know, probably fair to expect and to realise when you look at the squad we have got compared to what you would call the clubs that are spending, you know, millions and millions, much more than what we have done.
And I know it's a big ask tomorrow to go and win at Manchester City, but if they do it, they could be up as high as fifth, which is just remarkable.
Yeah, a few other results would maybe need to go away, but you know, City with the money that they've spent over the years and in recent times is there for everybody to see, isn't it? And but it doesn't guarantee success, as we've seen this season. You know, they've struggled somewhat, but you know, regardless of where we finish this year, if, you know, it's looking likely, you know, of a Europa League place. That's going to be an incredible achievement. But there's a little bit of me that almost wishes it was all or nothing, almost Champions League or almost even outside of the Europa League, because I just got a slight concern over what impact it's going to have on us as a club and on our squad, you know, with the demands that playing European football in the Europa League does bring a team.
Do you think they'd almost need to recruit differently in the summer if they are in the Europa League, in terms of they'd need a wider squad, that's for sure? Because Southampton have played with a relatively small, by Premier League standard, squad this season.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, there's youngsters coming through the system again that, you know, Southampton have done it for many years, but they've got a real good knack at the moment of developing a youngster, coming in through the ranks, building them up, getting them closer to the first team squad, training with the first team squad. So when that debut or when there's a need to play a youngster, that there's not almost that shock or surprise for the player themselves. You know, they almost fit seamlessly into the squad and play their part and go out and impress. So, you know, that's going to be a crucial part to our ongoing success over the coming seasons, to be producing our own players. And again, the trick for Ronald and his staff and the higher powers at the club is to go out and source those players that will come in, you know, sort of fit hand in hand with the players that we've got here already to strengthen what we have. Because I think if we just settle for where we finished this season and think that'd be great, let's settle for it again, we're going to have a few problems, I think, especially if you've got extra demands of European football. So we have got to strengthen and give us a fighting chance within the domestic campaign as well.
Francis, we talked about the players that have come in and done well, but let's talk about one who departed last summer. Are you a bit surprised Luke Shaw hasn't been able to accelerate and become a Manchester United star in the way he was at St Mary's?
Yes and no, I think, Andy. You know, going to a club like United, there's expectations on the players to be performing week in, week out. And what you've got to remember is Luke is still a very young man. Tremendous footballer, as we saw down here at Southampton. But, you know, he's gone to United and making that adjustment seems to have been a little bit difficult. Maybe settling down and just being in an environment of a club like United has taken a little bit more time than what maybe the club and maybe he would have liked. But and then again, there's the injuries problems that he seemed to have had throughout the season as well, which haven't helped. So whether that's down to him personally or United, a combination of things, who knows? But yeah, I'm sure he'll be wanting to do an awful lot more and be playing more regularly than what he has done this campaign.
Do we sometimes underestimate how tough it can be for someone who was a teenager when he went 4 hours away from home, being paid a huge amount of money, how difficult it can be to settle in that kind of situation?
I think a lot maybe comes down maybe to the character of the individual. You know, it's some people are really homely. You know, I never wanted to leave Southampton. I'm born and raised here. Players like Matt never wanted to leave the club. And you know, if players like ourselves maybe had to leave and uproot our families and things like that, or settle as a young man somewhere, then probably would have found that a little bit difficult. And whether that's the case with Luke, who knows? But you know, sort of ability wise, he's got the talent and ability to be able to play, you know, on the biggest stage. So it's just going to be interesting to see how he does slot into that United setup now, and how he continues to develop over the coming years, and obviously sort of on the international stage as well.
James Ward-Prowse and Matt Target, two Saints players who have been called up for the England under-21 squad for the European Championships. Can you perhaps understand why certain managers, and Koeman certainly hasn't been one of them, but why certain managers are reluctant to let their young players go and play in tournaments like that?
Maybe this time of the year is obviously sort of, you know, normally for most players a time to rest the body and the mind and come back sort of fully recharged for a pre-season again. But obviously that's not always the same. Or the international players that get call-ups don't have that same luxury, although they might get a little bit longer after the official, you know, due date back for pre-season like the other players. But to a degree, I mean, naturally from a club manager's point of view, you want to keep your players ready for your team, your club, and certainly not sort of expose them to any possible injury that they may pick up, especially after a long, hard season. But blimey, this is, you know, international recognition is something to be treasured, something to be extremely proud of. It's recognition not just for the players themselves, it's for the club, the city, and the team that they represent. So, you know, we've got a number of international players within our squad now, that's not just at the senior level, it's also at sort of the younger age groups as well. And for you know, sort of the players to get, James and Matty to get their call-ups was fantastic and fully deserved as well.
And it's obviously a touch tricky for someone like Matt Target, because he's a young player who's impressed in the few games he's played. But then you've got someone like Ryan Bertrand ahead of him, who's just been magnificent for Southampton this season. It's difficult to get yourself that place in the team.
That's right, yeah, but that is football, and that is what competition for places is all about. Maybe Ryan has played as well as he has done this year, not just because he's a fantastic footballer, but he knows he's got a youngster like Matty Target sat in the wings waiting to step into that position if he's not performing or he picks up an injury. So I think having that quality of player, two players for every position, is a healthy thing for a football club, healthy for the players themselves. It's a great scenario for a manager, and nice from a supporter's perspective, that if we think, well, if one of the players drops out of this team for any reason, then there's an ideal replacement to come in. And I think Matty Target is at an age where he'll be a little bit more patient, maybe than what he would do if he was in his mid-20s. But he's got a long future ahead of him, and hopefully we'll be able to, you know, retain both those players' services here for many years.
And talking of retaining player services, I have to talk about Nathaniel Clyne, another player, another fullback who's been really impressive. But it is still very difficult for Southampton if a Manchester United or a club of that size come in and really want to play and are willing to pay top market rate for them.
Exactly. And, you know, listen, let's not kid ourselves. If somebody comes in with a huge offer, it's going to be really difficult to turn down, especially if you've got a player in a mindset that is keen to leave as well, as we saw last summer. There was the classic example. And I think if a player's in a mindset that he wants to leave the club, no longer wants to be part of that group, then, I've said many times in the past, I'd rather they did go and the club did the best that they could possible to make sure that the deal was right for the football club. But yeah, you're right. He's an outstanding footballer. He's had a fantastic, number of games he's played here at St Mary's now. And again, another player that would be crucial to our ongoing success. So somebody that you would want to keep. But, you know, it's not just Southampton. It's, you know, Chelsea sell players, Man City sell players, Arsenal sell players. So it happens at any club. But quite naturally, you want to keep your best talent at your own team.
And obviously Morgan Schneiderlin's another one who could have potentially gone last summer and didn't, but you just wonder if the vultures might be circling again come this summer.
Yeah, that's a concern. And when you've got players like, you know, Nathaniel and Morgan that haven't signed contracts, then you do have that worry that, you know, that they will be departing. But I'm sure it's not certainly for the lack of trying and, you know, working within the club structure on a financial basis to make a deal right and sort of almost even try and go that extra mile to keep those top players at your club. But at the same time, you know, making sure it's right for the club's perspective as well. And I'm sure they'll work within those parameters to offer the best deal possible. We know the value that they do bring. But again, I think it often largely depends on what the player wants as well, especially with the involvement of agents nowadays as well. The way that they work behind the scenes at times probably doesn't help matters, I don't think. I mean, there's even teenagers now, even youngsters that haven't even in sort of academies that have got agents at a real tender age. And, you know, that's not to tarnish every single agent out there, because I know one or two that are very good. Even ex-teammates. So, but I don't think that you know, as a group, that they can help the situation all the time.
And tougher on Ronald Koeman, because he probably won't want to have to try and replace two or three of his top players again in the summer.
That's right. Yeah, I think it's very much going to be tweaking. I'd be very surprised if we went out and really started splashing the checkbook around and bringing a lot of players in. I think it'll largely depend on who will leave in the summer. And I'm almost thinking that there's been a scenario where the club would have sort of almost prepared for a situation if we did lose another three, four, who knows, possibly even five players. Not saying that that's what is going to leave, but the club will look at it as it's happened in the past. What if it does happen again? And I'm sure they will have a contingency to sort of put in place if that scenario does happen again.
Final couple, as we look ahead to tomorrow, realistically, seventh is probably going to be the final spot for Saints. It's a big ask to go to Man City and win that game.
They're more than capable, and there's, you know, football is a strange game, as we know. I mean, we saw, you know, a record-breaking hat-trick in 2:56 last week from Sadio Mane, and, you know, I don't think there would have been too many people that would have thought they would have seen a Saints player breaking that Robbie Fowler's record. We've got a wonderful servant in Calvin Davis, who's going to be making his 300th appearance tomorrow. That's going to be a magnificent milestone. So I'm sure he, the rest of the players, the season that they've had this season, they will want to be finishing with 3 points, especially on the back of last week's victory. So fingers crossed we can finish on a high, finish as high as we can in the table, have an enjoyable summer and come back raring to improve on this year's campaign for next season.
And you've said you're thinking about your next charity mission. We've not seen the last of events like Ben Ali's Big Run then.
I'd say no, but I can't disclose anything at the moment. There's nothing hard and fast that's been decided. But again, it's the decisions are exactly what the challenge will be, and when it will take place. But
But you've still got the hunger for another challenge.
Well, most definitely, yeah. I'll definitely be taking something on again.
Brilliant. Francis Benali, former Southampton left-back and legend. I'm absolutely delighted to say he's been my studio guest this afternoon here on BBC Radio Solent Sport.